don't tread on me. I won't sit back, stand idly by, watch the heart of my nation die. Oh, not me, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guts. Don't you tread on my faith in God's only son. Don't tread on me, don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Time has come, gonna take a stand. Spread these words all across the land, from sea to sea. Don't tread on me. So tell your neighbors, tell all your friends. Gonna see that eagle flying high again. You better believe, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guns. Don't you tread on my freedom, God's only son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I'll damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Yeah, I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me.
Rusty Chatfield.
Hey,
here.
Everybody. Okay. Welcome back into the show. This is the second hour of Your Defending Fathers with Trucker Randy Bishop here on the Patriot Voice Radio Network. I apologize, Rusty. I was on the phone. I had one of our listeners talking to me about their lower back pain. They just heard Tim Roberts from Patriots Relief on with us, and she was having back pain, and she wanted to talk to me about it. I'm like, I got to go. The music's playing. So, greatly appreciate you being part of the show today. Again, this is the second hour. We always talk with Pastor Jeff Phil on Fridays from 10 to 11, and he usually has history for us, whether it's from the Bible, whether it's from the Constitution, our founding fathers. He always seems to end up, by the end of the hour, tying it to current events. And today, Pastor Jeff Phil, you have a Bible verse you want to talk to us about.
Well, I read this many, many times. And it's a source, it's great truth, but it's a source of misunderstanding. And it has everything to do with history and politics and war and pacifism and a Christian's a place in this world. Jesus is standing before Pontius Pilate, and Pontius, the night before, the early morning before he's crucified, and Pilate says, "Don't you do know that I have the power to deliver you or not to deliver you?" And Pilate knew, the Roman governor, that the Jews had delivered Jesus for envy. That's what the Bible says. He knew it. He could see it. He just didn't have any courage to say, "No, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to crucify an innocent man." He basically turns Jesus over to the mob. Says, "See thou to it. I'm innocent from the, I'm pure from the blood of this just person." He goes and he washes his hands. "I'm washing my hands of the whole thing." That's where we get the phrase, "You're washing your hands of the thing." "I'm washing my hands of it." That's from the Bible. Jesus says this in John chapter 19, verse 36. Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence." But now is my kingdom not from hence. So a lot of people are taking this verse and said, "Look, we're Christians. This world is not our home. Our citizenship is in heaven. Jesus' kingdom is not of this world. We're not going to fight. And we're not going to fight. We're not going to be engaged. We're going to concern ourselves strictly, solely, only, continually, 100% of the time were trying to win people to Christ. Because that's where the battle is. I've heard many, many, many of my pastor friends pray a prayer like this, and there's some truth in it, but not, I don't think they get it. Of course, they don't listen to your show. They don't really listen to me, and I really try to correct people's prayers. They'll say, well, Lord, you sent us a political revival in 2024. Thank you. But we know that what really matters is winning people to Christ. And I want to say, no, sort of. That statement has to be nuanced. In other words, they want to stand back from that. Now, I'm going to discuss this verse on the other side.
Sure, absolutely. Bible, scripture, history lesson, current events with Pastor Chatfield. Short break, a word from our sponsors. We'll be right back.
A book by Rick Randall, Road Trip, the Good Words book for success. Good words that both young and old alike need to add to their vocabulary to impact their thoughts, emotions, behavior, and ultimately their reality in life. Road Trip's Good Words, Positive Thinking, and Daily Pep Talk will improve your attitude, impress everyone you come in contact with, and lead to a better, happier, more fulfilling life. Get your copy at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever books are sold. Pass the positive. Road Trip, the Good Words book by Rick Randall.
Life is a wonderful journey, from fresh beginnings and future adventures to all the best life has to offer. Along this incredible journey, you want to safeguard what's most important to you. Hi, I'm Tristan Cole, your local Farm Bureau insurance agent, and I'm always nearby to help protect you and your loved ones along the way. Let's talk about your journey and protecting what matters most. Call me at 231-533-6489 or visit me online at TristanCole.com. We're Farm Bureau Insurance, Michigan's insurance company.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. I support this show, and I would like to offer you our biggest discounts for listening. So please go to our website, MyPillow.com, and put in the promo code at the end of this message to get the biggest discounts. Again, thanks for listening, and God bless.
Thanks, Mike. Folks, go to MyPillow.com and enter the promo code TRUCKERRANDY or call 800-654-9659.
Moment, the moment Granddad handed down his old rifle. At Curtis Gunsmithing in Petoskey, we respect traditions. We also know that that old gun might not be in the same shape it was when Granddad gave it to you. Mr. Tom Curtis, the gun doctor, will take good care of old Betsy. He'll get her shined up and looking good as new. Curtis Gunsmithing is the one that you can trust with your family traditions. Give us a call at 231-838-5571. And as the gun doctor says, anything but an Abrams tank.
If you have pain in your back, neck, shoulders, hip, knees, wrists, or feet, Dr. Gary Willey's Chiropractic Services in Sheboygan has a robotic laser treatment for you. This technology takes away pain, inflammation, and promotes healing. Experience robotic laser pain relief at a special new customer price. Call us for fast relief Monday through Wednesday to learn more and to schedule an appointment at 231-627-4300. Again, 231-627-4300.
Life is a wonderful journey, from fresh beginnings and future adventures to all the best life has to offer. Along this incredible journey, you want to safeguard what's most important to you. Hi, I'm Tristan Cole, your local Farm Bureau insurance agent, and I'm always nearby to help protect you and your loved ones along the way. Let's talk about your journey and protecting what matters most. Call me at 231-533-6489 or visit me online at TristanCole.com. We're Farm Bureau Insurance, Michigan's insurance company.
Hey, everybody, welcome back into the show discussion with Pastor Chatfield today. Pastor Chatfield, this particular scripture, what does it have to do? How was it relevant? How was it applicable in our history?
Well, there's always been, originally, it would have been the Quakers and Amish, some Anabaptists, some Mennonite, who take this scripture and say, and to this day, the Amish are pacifist and do not, and the Jehovah's Witnesses, who are totally outside the stream of Christianity. I don't count Jehovah's Witnesses as Christians at all. Nevertheless, they take this passage, they won't vote. Jehovah's Witnesses won't vote. Now, Mormons, who are outside the stream of Christianity also, they will at least vote. And this has long been the case. To now, there is a little bit of movement of Amish and Mennonites starting to vote, but not Jehovah's Witnesses. Let me read the scripture once again. Jesus said to Pilate, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence." So they make the argument, well, see, we can't be involved in politics, because Jesus' kingdom is not of this world. However, let me just point it out. This is Rusty Chatfield here saying this. Jesus said, "If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would fight." The whole Bible, the whole Old Testament is full of fighting. When Jesus said this, his kingdom was not of this world. I mean, he was going to heaven. It was a spiritual kingdom. And yes, our first responsibility as Christians is spread the gospel. That's true. I believe that. But he says in the last part of the verse, "But now is my kingdom not of this hence." When Jesus Christ comes again, his kingdom will be of this world. He's going to come with a sharp sword proceeding out of his mouth. He's going to smite the nations, and he's going to set up his kingdom on this earth. He's going to rule them with a rod of iron. You know, so the United States of America is of this world, and we are American citizens, and we're going to fight. It's like your song at the beginning. Don't tread on my gun. Don't tread on my faith in God's only son.
Yep, absolutely.
And if you do, be darn sure, he says something else, but be darn sure I'm going to fight.
Yes.
See, that is what in the early part of our country was called the martial spirit. The preachers of this country, the vast majority of them, the rare exception were some Anglicans in the South, Church of England men, who were still had that loyalty to England. Says, "No freedom, we're going to fight for our freedom, because freedom is a gift from God and it's worth fighting for." That's you know, and history. I mean, so and the Roman Catholics, they believe in fighting. The Baptists, we believe in fighting.
Now, when you say fighting, I want to be clear. You're not just talking about, you know, talking to some people, it gets confrontational, and then you're going to start swinging. That's not the fighting you're talking about. Explain those words from the Bible where Jesus said, "Fight." How is it applicable to what you're talking about?
The New Testament is filled with the idea of fight. Earnestly contend for the faith once delivered unto the saints. We're going to fight for our faith. We're going to speak up. We're going to spread the gospel. Yes. However, sometimes it does turn into physical altercations. This is tricky. Got to be careful. It's got to be nuanced. I get it. If I'm out preaching the gospel and somebody punches me in the face, I will turn around and walk away. Okay. Now, if he punches me three or four times, and then I think this guy's going to kill me. You know, I'm an armed, excuse me, I'm a licensed armed carrier, thanks to the fellow in Harbor Springs.
Yes, sir.
And I'm not going to let him kill me. I'll take a punch or two, and I'll walk away, because I don't want the confused spreading of the gospel with defending myself. There's a time for spreading the gospel and praying. There's a time for defending. On the other hand, if I'm at home, secure in my house, and a man breaks into my house, I'm not going to hand him a gospel tract.
You're right.
Not going to get on my knees and pray. I'm not going to pray for him. Different context. And in that case, I'm going to fight for my life with physical force, a gun if necessary. That's the difference. And you got to nuance that. You got to be careful. I'm trying to be careful. But we in this country was founded on the idea that God gave us life, and he gave us a responsibility to defend our life, our liberty, and our property. We believe that was scriptural. I still believe it is. I was arguing with a pastor friend who basically said, well, Christians, we're not involved in politics. We're not involved. He basically said, don't join the military even. Listen, a Christian can join the military. And sometimes should, if it be the will of God for you. Why? Because we're defending our liberty. We're defending our country. Our kingdom, the United States of America, is of this world, and therefore we will fight. And in that case, it means physical fighting. Jesus said in Luke chapter 20, hey, if you don't have a sword, go buy one. There is a place for physical fighting. Now, so you got to nuance these two ideas of spiritual fighting, praying, standing up for our country, being involved in politics, doing what we can, and then physical fighting, joining the military, being a policeman. God empowered policemen. The Bible says in Luke 13, for he beareth not the sword in vain. God empowers policemen to defend a country. The Bible says that our government is for the punishment of evil and for the reward of them to do good. Well, you know, that's the nature. That's espoused in the Declaration of Independence, which I believe. This pastor friend of mine, I says, do you believe in the Declaration of Independence? He would not answer it. He would not answer the question because he doesn't. He doesn't believe in the Declaration. Hey, I've spent my life reading, quoting that. Hey, it's on Randy's website. You want to hear me quote the entire Declaration by memory? I believe in it. Okay, now, it goes along with this. Let me, I'm going to read something here from you, J.C. Ryle, who is a very well-respected 19th century Anglican Bible believer. And he says, my kingdom is not of this world. What does that mean? I'll make it through by the bottom of the hour. But our Lord did not intend to teach that the kings of this world have nothing to do with religion and ought to ignore God altogether in the government of their subjects. No such idea, we may be sure, was in his mind. He knew perfectly well that it was written, by me, kings reign. Proverbs 18:15. By me, kings reign. God uses kings. God uses presidents. God uses them. It is by them that they reign. The Bible is so, that's so true in the Bible. I could teach it to you for a long time. On the other side, maybe I'll have time. And that kings are as much required to use their influence for God as the meanest of their subjects. He knew that the prosperity of kingdoms is wholly dependent on the blessing of God, and that kings are as much bound to encourage righteousness and godliness as to punish unrighteousness and immorality. Stop. I hear this said all over and over. It's the dumbest thing I ever heard in my life. Well, you can't legislate morality. What a dumb statement. Listen, all morality, all law is legislative morality. Every civil law is based on some moral premise. The argument is whose morality is going to be legislated? The basic morality of the Bible and natural law? Or is it going to be the left's? The woke morality? The leftist morality? See, what they say is, this boy is a girl. We need laws that allow him to go into a girl's bathroom and express himself. That's right. That's good. That's what they say. See, they're trying to impose their morality on us. And we're saying, no, that's not good for a man to use a girl's bathroom. It's wrong. Based on what? Well, we say based on the Bible and all natural law. How about biology? You understand that? So we're arguing over morality. Abraham Lincoln said that in his first inaugural. He says, what's the big argument between the South and the North? He says, the only fundamental argument is this, Lincoln said. We believe slavery is wrong and ought not to be extended, while the people of the South believe it is right and ought to be extended. This is the only substantial argument. It's kind of an understatement. It's a big argument. They thought slavery was good and should be expanded. The Republican Party in 1860 said no extension of slavery into the territories. It was a moral argument. Politics and morality and religion, they intersect at so many different places. That is the way it is. Here again, J.C. Ryle says, to suppose that he meant to teach Pilate that, in his judgment, an infidel might be as good as king as a Christian, and a man like Galileo, a good ruler as David or Solomon, is simply absurd. Let us carefully hold fast the true meaning of our Lord's words in these latter days. Let us never be ashamed to maintain that no government can expect to prosper which refuses to recognize religion. And let me add here, natural law. That's the basic argument today. A lot of people now are waking up from woke. They're turning from it. And people are way. And by the way, you know why people are so much more bold today? It's because of the election of Donald Trump. Now, people that said this is crazy a year ago are now saying they thought it was crazy a year ago. Now they're saying this is crazy because now the political wind has changed and it's changed people's courage to speak up and say this is crazy. A man cannot declare himself to be a woman. Whatever you think of homosexuality, there is a certain sense of biology that is, now the Bible condemns homosexuality, of course, but now, and natural law condemns it. However, biology condemns this wokeness and this strange mentality. All right. Again, J.C. Ryle says, no doubt the kings of this world cannot make men Christians by laws and statutes. Of course. Got to be born again. Got to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried and he rose again from the dead to save us all from sin, death, and hell. Yes, that's true. Yes. But, Ryle, J.C. Ryle says, but they can encourage and support Christianity, and they will do so if they are wise. And that's what President Trump is doing. I mean, he's not coming out saying you got to go to church on Sunday. And he shouldn't. He shouldn't say that. But he is encouraging Christianity. I think he understands, and I know, I am very convinced that, that Pete Hegseth understands, that this country was founded on the basic principles of Christianity. And that our government was wedded to that. Asked John Quincy Adams, he said exactly that. And so did John Adams. Our country was based on the Christian morality, Christian principles, weaved into the Declaration of Independence and weaved through the Constitution of the United States. That is true. The kingdom where there is the most industry, temperance, truthfulness, and honesty will always be the most prosperous of kingdoms. The king who wants to see things abound among his subjects should do all that lies in his power to help Christianity and to discourage irreligion. Okay. He's got five summarizing points. I'll make it quick. How much time I got before the end of the...
You got a minute.
Okay, every government is responsible to God. Absolutely. Let me just stop and talk this. I hear people say something like this. Look, they'll say, God didn't give us any place in the Bible that, you know, exactly how we're supposed to reign. Oh, wait a minute here. You think that God ordained government, like he ordained the family, like he ordained the church, and he left it up to human beings to decide whatever they want to do? You think that because you read Romans 13, 1-7 like that, you think that Adolf Hitler was as good as Abraham Lincoln? Is that what you think? Of course, that is absurd. Absurd thinking. Every government is responsible to God. And so if government is responsible to God, well, how should government act? On two things, according to the Declaration of Independence, according to John Locke, according to Rusty Sheffield, natural law and revealed law.
Those are the guiding factors that government should be operating under.
Correct.
Absolutely. Time of the hour news break. I'm Trucker Randy. He's Pastor Chatfield. We're your defending fathers. We'll be right back.
This is Michigan News Source.